This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
There's a lot going on in rethinking about how public transportation in general is directly correlated to the viability and sustainability of cities.
Are you one of the many people who thinks about taking your bike to do an errand more often than actually taking your bike for that errand? If one of your reasons for driving instead is that you don't have the energy for a workout or it's just too dark outside, you won't want to miss this week's episode of Sea Change Radio. First, we hear from John Stevens of Super Pedestrian, an innovative company that's designed the Copenhagen Wheel, a bicycle wheel that can make a sweaty, tiring hill ascent a thing of the past. Then I speak with Laurent Rains of Monkey Electric, whose cutting-edge wheel lights make it much more fun to ride a bike in the dark. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by John Stevens. He is a vehicle dynamics and control specialist for Super Pedestrian. John, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Great, thanks for having me here.
So John, your company makes a remarkable new cycling device called the Copenhagen Wheel. What exactly is the Copenhagen Wheel first?
Well, the Copenhagen Wheel is an electric bicycle all in the wheel. So typically, if you go out to buy an electric bicycle today in the marketplace, you buy something that has a throttle and a separate battery and a separate motor and a separate controller, and you either get those on a custom bike all integrated, or you have to integrate all these components, all these different components, into your bicycle. So the Copenhagen Wheel is taking all of that, putting it all into the rear wheel of your bicycle. So you take this wheel, you put it on your existing bicycle, and it's now an electric bike.
And when people hear electric bike, it's why would somebody want to not get exercise? Explain the use for these hybrid bicycles. They've been quite popular over the last decade or so, correct?
Correct. Actually, electric bicycles are becoming increasingly popular throughout the world. I'll make a point of distinction between the Copenhagen Wheel and a lot of electric bikes that we've seen to date in the marketplace, is that there's a trend to have what they call pedal electric or electric bicycles. And the Copenhagen Wheel would be generally classified as a pedal electric bicycle, meaning that in order for it to add effort, you have to do some amount of pedaling yourself. So it's an electric assist device. So it's not that you don't get any exercise when you're riding a Copenhagen Wheel, but you get to decide essentially how much effort you want to put in, because perhaps you're wearing a suit on your way to work, or you've got a really big hill on the way home and it's the end of the day and you're just tired. So the notion of the Copenhagen Wheel is that while you're riding your bike as you normally would, we can add in a little bit of effort to help you on your way.
So try to explain what the ride would be like if somebody were using your wheel on their bicycle and they were finding themselves running out of human gas going up this hill. How would it kick in, and what would it feel like?
Yeah, so hopefully, if I've done my job really well, it feels like you just stronger. So the Copenhagen Wheel has a set of sensors in it, which will detect the amount of effort that you're applying, so how hard you're pedaling the pedals, how fast the pedals are spinning, and even has the ability to detect certain things like how steep of a hill you're on. So if the Copenhagen Wheel sees you that you're working harder or that there's a slope that you're on, it would increase the amount of effort that it's applying into the wheel to offset that load from you, the human, onto the electric motor and battery propulsion system.
Now, the difference between what a lot of people have seen, and if they've seen a electric bike going down the street versus a Copenhagen Wheel, what's the difference in terms of both the form and the weight?
Those are things that we care a lot about at Super Pedestrian, both the form and the weight. If you look at traditional electric bicycles out there, they've got motors and batteries sort of packaged as discs and blocks sort of scattered throughout, you know, the bicycle frame. And at Super Pedestrian, we've taken this idea of, you know, we want it to be elegant, we want it to be a complete package so that it's both beautiful, functional, and useful all at the same time. So the form of the Copenhagen Wheel is, this large sort of hub with this, sort of novel spoking pattern. This sort of spokes hook around and back. In part because there's a certain elegance to that design and a certain aesthetic that comes from it, that we pride ourselves in thinking about those details. In terms of weight, because we're trying to put all of this into one wheel, batteries, throttles, motors, everything, and that all lives in the rear wheel, we're very sensitive to not making the bike too heavy. Many electric bikes that you buy today can add 30 pounds to a bicycle. Some even more, depending on what you're purchasing.
At that point, you're already pretty much riding a moped.
Yeah, and there's a viable market for those sorts of products. People who have extraordinary long distances to go, or really, really big hills to climb, or want really, really maximum performance. But that's different than the approach that we're taking. We're targeting people who are, commuters, people who ride a certain amount of distance, or who are recreational people who want just a little bit more effort. So we're trying to make the bicycle as much as your regular bicycle, in the sense that we don't want to double or triple the weight of the wheel on the bicycle. So for us, we're targeting to have our system weigh 6 kilograms or less. So roughly about 12 pounds, 12 to 13 pounds. So in that sense, you should still be able to put a Copenhagen wheel on your bicycle and carry your bike up a flight of stairs if you need to get the bike into your apartment at night because you live in an old brownstone in a city.
But if you're a serious long-distance cyclist or a mountain biker, that extra 20, 30, 40% of the weight would probably be prohibitive for you, correct? But you can swap out the wheel and use it when you know you're going to just be commuting or going up hills and you're going to be in your suit. Is that kind of the idea for somebody who's like a performance cyclist? They could still use this on their bike, but just swap it out? Or is it kind of hard to take it off?
No, it should be very easy to put on and off. That's part of our core market, is to make it easy to install and remove the wheel. But I don't necessarily think that a performance cyclist would necessarily need to remove the wheel. I mean,
when you're trying to get down to below 20 pounds or something on a bike, another 10, 12 pounds is not insignificant, is all.
Oh, no, it's definitely an increase in system weight, compared to what a performance cyclist who's interested in shaving grams off his bottom bracket really cares about. But the Copenhagen wheel, remember, is going to be providing effort. And so it should also be providing effort to overcome the added weight that it's adding. So for a cyclist who's really concerned, I mean, we have to sort of take a step back and say, well, why are they trying to shave all this weight off their bicycle? It's to make their job easier, to pedal the bicycle. So if we're adding something to the system that's going to make it easier to move, their weight and the bike's weight, then, they don't need to remove it. But that being aside, I agree that I think our target market is mostly urban cyclists, commuters, and, certain classifications of recreational cyclists who want to have assist from an electric bicycle, but retain the experience of cycling through pedaling.
And when you're going downhill and not needing any extra effort or assist, as you say, how does the Copenhagen wheel perform?
When you're driving down it, when you're riding a bicycle down a hill, gravity is pulling you down along that hill. And typically when you're riding down a big hill on a bicycle, you might apply your brakes in order to keep you from going too fast. And when you do that, that energy that goes into the braking system, which gets turned into just heat, is lost. But with the Copenhagen wheel, we can actually regenerate that energy that's from gravity pulling you down the hill and put that back into your body. So we can recapture some of that energy that would normally be lost to friction and heat if you were just to use the regular mechanical brakes on your bicycle.
Why is this a sustainability issue, John? Why are we talking about this on SeaChange Radio?
The Copenhagen wheel wasn't initially thought of as, a solution to sustainability issues, but in partnership with the city of Copenhagen, they realized that changes in urbanization are really central to sustainability in the future. We talk about transit, cars, trains, and buses. There's a lot going on in rethinking about how public transportation in general is directly correlated to the viability and sustainability of cities. And this is another alternative, another solution where instead of a person, you know, who, you know, maybe weighs 100 kilograms, you know, or slightly over that, is driving a, you know, a much larger vehicle, there's all this energy that has to go into moving the vehicle and not just the person. So the more people that we can get cycling where most of that energy cost is spent on moving the person and not some large vehicle around it, I think that there's a general increased opportunity for overall energy efficiency. And we hope that the more people we get to cycle, the more people we get to reduce energy consumption in general. And so it sort of dovetails into sustainability issues for urban dwellers. And that's an added benefit for us.
Listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace. Just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to John Stevens. He's the Vehicle Dynamics and Control Specialist for Super Pedestrian, which is the manufacturer and designer of the Copenhagen wheel. So, John, right now these are priced in the $700 to $800 range, correct?
That is correct.
And when can somebody get one?
Well, we're taking pre-orders for our 2014 production year right now. And so if you go to our website right now, you can sign up and get on the list for getting a 2014 wheel, which will have availability sometime this summer for the orders that we're getting now.
And obviously, as it becomes more popular, I'm assuming that you'll either have different tiers of pricing and or the price will just come down on the Copenhagen wheel if it becomes more widely used. Is that your goal for this? Are you expecting this to become something that cyclists in hilly communities all over the world are going to be using? Or is this something that just bike enthusiasts are going to embrace, you think?
We really hope to reach a broad percentage of the population. Going back to the original idea of the Copenhagen wheel and why it's called the Copenhagen wheel is the mayor of Copenhagen asked the MIT Sensible City Lab to figure out how do we get more people to cycle, not just cycling enthusiasts, but how do we get more people to cycle? And Copenhagen is a city where the vast majority of people, it's over 50%, maybe even 60% of their population does cycle. And so we're not just talking about bicycling enthusiasts. We're really trying to remove the obstacles that anybody who could possibly ride their bike either to the grocery store, to work, around their community. We're trying to eliminate the remaining obstacles to riding bicycles. And typically that's hills, the heat, or the amount of effort required to ride against the wind and that sort of stuff. So so our goal is to hit the broadest possible target audience with the Copenhagen wheel, and hopefully the $800 is sort of the price that we have the product at right now, but hopefully over time we can drive that price even lower, because unlike other e-bike systems where you have to buy a whole bike and kit, those can cost, starting in the thousands to several thousand dollars and even more, depending on what sort of electric bicycle you buy. We're trying to go to the opposite end of the spectrum and say, let's just supply you with what you need to make your bicycle an electric bicycle. And so hopefully the price will come down over time as we sell more and more.
And I want you to explain a little bit how the wheel communicates with the smartphone app, and I'd like to know if that is kind of a prerequisite for using the wheel. I'm just thinking of somebody in a developing country who may not have access to an iPhone.
Sure. The smartphone is not a prerequisite to using the wheel. So you'll be able to take a Copenhagen wheel, place it on a bicycle, and get the basic functionality out of it without a smartphone. You know, the assist and all of those other features you would expect from an electric bicycle, you'll get without a smartphone. Now, if you do have a smartphone, it opens up a whole new set of features that you can get. That's particularly interesting now. A lot of electric bicycles come with dedicated displays and controls, but a large percentage of the population is starting to carry smart devices. And so why not leverage that? And so the Copenhagen wheel is going to have built-in functionality to connect to smartphones and do things like display your speed and you know, the particular mode the Copenhagen wheel is. And it'll also allow you to customize to a certain degree the behaviors of the Copenhagen wheel. We'll have different modes. There might be an eco mode where it maximizes the range of your battery. There might be a sport mode or a turbo mode that gives you the maximum performance of the propulsion system. And there may be, we may have a mode called flatten my city mode, where maybe you don't need a whole lot of assist on the flat ground, but you really want the hills to just disappear. So you'll be able to select between these different modes and therefore tailor the behaviors of how the wheel responds to their pedaling. And those features are enabled by the smartphone. So if you don't have a smartphone, you'll get sort of, you know, the standard performance and behavior, but the smartphone will open up a variety of different things that you can do with the wheel.
So, John, I know that your technology is proprietary and you can't tell us every little bit about it, but just from somebody who knows the ins and outs of this wheel, what are some of the most fascinating parts of the technology for you? Is it the battery innovation, or is it the ability to kind of be able to listen to the biorhythms of the cyclist, or something else?
I think that there's a handful of really neat technical problems that go into creating a product like the Copenhagen wheel. And some are purely integration problems. As I talked about, we've got batteries and motors, and we're trying to fit all those into one wheel. And so there's a lot of trade-offs that we have to make in terms of, you know, how much space do we give to battery versus motor versus the controller. So when we try to put all the stuff into one wheel, there's a lot of little technology problems that need to be optimized in order to get everything that we want out of this fairly small package that we're also trying to keep fairly light. So that's one interesting set of problems. And there's some really interesting technology solutions there as well, depending on, you know, what you're trying to do for motor technology and battery technology. And then on the other side, the human side of the equation, we want this to be an amazing riding experience. We want you to feel like you're riding your bicycle and that you just feel stronger. And so there's a certain elegance and sophistication to the sensing and the controls that we're trying to achieve so that it doesn't feel like you're riding this thing that's taking you for a ride, but you don't even really notice it. You just somehow magically feel like you're a stronger cyclist, that you've got a tailwind at your back, or that you're always rolling down a hill.
Have you ever had any kind of safety issues where it might just start spinning when you don't want it to, that it's moving more than it should? How does the cyclist kind of modulate that or pull back the pedaling or the assist if it needs it to kind of cool out?
Safety is certainly a priority whenever you talk about putting an electric motor onto a bicycle, right? A traditional bicycle is completely driven by the human, and now we're adding batteries and motors. So the nice thing is that the electric bicycle industry has been around for quite some time, and they've developed a certain set of safety standards and quality metrics that you have to meet just to be qualified as an electric bike product. So Copenhagen Wheel will certainly meet those safety standards for the industry in general. That being said, when we talk to the specifics about how does it work, well, the Copenhagen wheel responds to how you're pedaling, you know, and so if you're not pedaling, it's not going to do anything. And all of the sensors that we have and the controls that we have are looking at, is the rider trying to provide effort? So if you stop pedaling, it'll stop providing effort. It's as simple as that. And then, of course, there's layers of that. Well, how does it do it? How does it do it reliably? And those are all sorts of the details that we sort of retain internally about the various techniques that we use to make sure that the hardware is functioning appropriately, that the software is functioning appropriately, and all of those little details. So from the user's perspective, it should be pretty seamless that whenever you don't want to assist, you just stop pedaling.
Super Pedestrian's John Stevens. John, thanks so much for being my guest on SeaChange Radio.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars.
Look at me, hands in the air like it's good to be alive. And I'm a famous rapper even when the paths are all crooked-y. I could show you how to do-si-do, I could show you how to scratch a record. I could take apart the remote control, and I can almost put it back together. I could tie a knot in a cherry stem, I could tell you about Leif Erikson. I know all the words to De Colores, and I'm proud to be an American. Me and my friends are platypus, me and my friend made a comic book. And guess how long it took, I can do anything that I want. Cause look, I can keep rhythm with no metronome.
Follow the shift to sustainability with SeaChange Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/SeaChangeRadio and on our Facebook page.
I'm joined now on SeaChange Radio by Laurent Rains. He's a partner and VP of Business Development at Monkey Electric. Laurent, welcome to SeaChange Radio.
Hi, Alex. Thank you for having me.
First, why don't you tell our listeners what Monkey Electric has invented here?
Well, at Monkey Electric, what we do is we make bicycle lights that fit on the spokes of your wheels. And as they spin around, they make amazing full-color patterns that are visible on both sides. And our idea is to combine fun and safety by dramatically increasing side visibility.
What's your target market? Right now, I imagine it's mostly cycling enthusiasts. But how do you hope to and plan to get Monkey lights to the masses? How can you start getting people to bike at night?
Well, we have really two different product lines. One that's really geared to consumers, and that way we have the M210 Monkey Light, which has 10 LEDs, 5 on each side, and comes preloaded with patterns. And we have the M232, which has 32 LEDs, 16 on each side, and again is preloaded with patterns. And those are really designed for a mass market and above just enthusiasts. They're very reasonably priced, are available at a lot of different bike stores, online, and through some big retailers like REI. So those lights, we gear them for the everyday cyclist. You can put them on your wheel. It's really easy to install, very easy to operate, and they last in all weather conditions. You just leave them on your bike wheel and forget about them. Turn them on when you're going at night, and it really increases your side visibility. So our hope is twofold. One, we're trying to make cycling more visible, and more visible in the two senses of more visible. We want to see cyclists occupy greater space in our roads, and we want cyclists to be safer. We find that when people feel safer, they're much more likely to continue to cycle throughout the year. And so that's one of the big motivations that we have. With the Monkey Light Pro, we're taking things just a whole new level. We see the target market for that particular product as being advertisement, and we even have an example of an installation we did right now on 4th and Market Street in the Levi's shop window there in promotion of their commuter jeans.
Does the wheel have to be spinning for these animations and visualizations to be apparent?
Absolutely. It works from about 10 miles an hour up within the spinning bicycle wheel by an effect called persistence of vision. And that's the effect that if you take a light and you wave it in front of your eyes, it kind of leaves tracers going back and forth because it's going faster than your eye can process. So your eye's filling in the gaps. And different people perceive it at different speeds. Some people perceive it at much slower speeds, much more clearly. Some people at higher speeds don't perceive the effect very well. So it does involve biology as well as engineering. It's kind of fun.
And I saw in the promotional video where for an emergency, you could create a real looking stop sign. It was pretty spectacular in how realistic it looked. But how would somebody manage to create the stop sign? Would they have to keep their bike wheel spinning to do this?
They would have to spin their bike wheel, as there's essentially four bars. And on those bars extend from the rim to the center of the wheel to the hub, and as those bars spin, they fill the wheel with light, and on those bars there's LEDs on it, so it's a total of 256 full color LEDs on the Monkey Light Pro, and that allows you to have quite a high resolution and an incredible level of brightness.
This is Alex Wise on SeaChange Radio. I'm speaking to Laurent Rains of Monkey Electric. As a qualifier, I should tell our listeners that my sister Catherine works for Monkey Electric, but you were mentioning the price points of the products. Can you tell us what they are right now?
Sure. The M210, which is the light with 10 LEDs on it, is at $39. The M232 is at $59. And the Monkey Light Pro will be at around $895.
Really? It's that expensive? I didn't realize the Monkey Light Pro was such a different product.
Per LED, it's actually one of the cheapest bicycle lights on the market, if you look at it as a per LED cost.
Right, right. There's just so many LED lights, right?
There's so many LED lights and the controllers. It's just a complicated product to manufacture. And so that's the reason that it has that price. And that's actually down quite a bit from the prototypes that we were hand-making a couple years ago, which we were selling for about $2,000 a piece.
What about installation? Is this something that somebody who might have trouble fixing a flat would have trouble doing? Would you recommend that they have their bike shop do it, or is this a real snap?
It's a real snap. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes. A pair of needle nose pliers or any sort of pliers is handy, but not even really necessary, and something to cut the zip ties used for installation, like a pair of scissors. So it's easier than fixing a flat, without a doubt.
And how much weight does it add to a bike?
It adds about 134 grams.
About a quarter of a pound, almost.
That's
a little
right.
More than a quarter pound.
A little more than a quarter.
So not very heavy if for a commuter. It's mostly that might matter to somebody who's racing, obviously, but they probably wouldn't be racing at night.
Exactly.
Can Monkey Electric products be integrated with the Copenhagen wheel, for example?
Yeah, absolutely. Monkey Electric products can be fit on almost any bicycle wheel that has spokes. And with the two different sizes of lights, they can even be fit on electric bicycles such as the Copenhagen wheel.
He's the Vice President of Business Development at Monkey Electric, Laurent Rains. Laurent, thanks so much for being my guest on SeaChange Radio.
Thank you very much, Alex.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to SeaChange Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by Ernest Ranglin, Brad Sundahl, and the Flowbots. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to SeaChange Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For SeaChange Radio, I'm Alex Wise.